T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dave Leventhal joining us live, editor-at-large at the Center for Public Integrity in Washington. And Dave, debate number 4 tonight in Westerville, Ohio, a Columbus suburb. What are you expecting?
Expecting a lot in the sense that we have a whole slew of variables that we didn't have last time. Bernie Sanders is coming off a heart attack. It's really going to be the first major time nationally that we get to see how he's doing and the case that he's going to make for himself now that he's gone forward in deciding that he's going to continue on the campaign trail. Joe Biden has been slipping in certain polls. He's not doing all that great in states that are early on the calendar, including New Hampshire and Iowa, doing very well in South Carolina. But still, he's going to need to have some sort of a debate performance that stands out if he wants to turn those fortunes around, even if it's still relatively early date. And Elizabeth Warren has been ascendant as of late. Is Elizabeth Warren going to be able to have a performance that keeps her really second or first in some polls, too, which is where she's at? Finally, you got a lot of candidates like Beto O'Rourke and Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, who have really been in the doldrums lately, and they're trying to make a case just to stay in this race and nothing else.
Do you expect Biden and Warren to be the two at the center stage later on tonight? Because it seems like they're leading most polls. And it's kind of funny because it's also has seemed like they're maybe two of the people who are most positioned over the course of the last year to go against the president. So they've been really attacking the president for the past few years now.
Yeah, and expect that they might be attacked themselves, especially Elizabeth Warren, who's largely been able to avoid that kind of treatment on the debate stage. But other candidates, when they are in a position like they're in right now, which is in single digits in the polls, they're going to look at the people who are in double digits. And Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Joe Biden are really the only three who fit that bill at this point. So don't be surprised if Elizabeth Warren, like Joe Biden has been in the past, is going to be a target from some of the second, third, or fourth-tier candidates. You're also going to have Tom Steyer on the stage today. He's the billionaire Democratic candidate who was going to run, that he wasn't going to run. Now he is running again and is largely owed his debate stage seat today or perch by virtue of him having all that money to be able to get all the small-dollar donations that one needed to raise in order to get on the debate stage for this month in the first place. So he's going to be making his debut. It'll be curious to see what he has to say relative to the other candidates. And mind you, Brian, there are going to be 12 of them on stage. This is going to be as packed a debate stage. In fact, more of a packed debate stage than any that we've had so far to this point on the Democratic side.
Yeah, what do you think that will be like just from the optics of watching 12 candidates on one stage, you know, at the same time?
Well, Susan, it could get messy, and it's going to be very difficult for anyone whose name isn't Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, or Elizabeth Warren to get a word in edgewise at some point. You can expect that the moderators are going to probably focus much of their heavy questioning at the three front runners. But somebody like Kamala Harris, who had a very, very excellent debate performance back in June, but has kind of fallen a bit to the wayside ever since, expect that somebody like her, or her specifically, is going to try to make some noise and maybe use the style of prosecutorial interrupter, which, of course, she's very good at.
Yeah, switching focus, if we could, just a little bit. I know you like to keep tabs on what's going on back home. There's a county executive race going on. We've been bringing the candidates in studio for hour-long discussions this week and have another one coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's Erie County. It's one of these places that it's a little weird where you look at it because Democrats outnumbering Republicans in terms of registered voters almost 2-1, yet a lot of people expecting a much closer race than that would seem to indicate, maybe because of just how diverse Erie County is when you look at it all.
Yeah, and a job like Erie County executive or a county executive in general is about so much more about performance than it is about ideology. So you've seen this in very liberal counties, very liberal states, or for that matter, conservative counties and conservative states, where you will oftentimes have somebody who rises to the top of the heap and, you know, ultimately is from the party that you wouldn't expect. We see this just across the line here in D.C. in Maryland, where the governor, Larry Hogan, he's a rock-rid Republican, not a friend of Donald Trump necessarily, but Maryland is an incredibly liberal state, and yet he's as popular as a governor has ever been in the state of Maryland. So for Erie County's purposes, I'm not terribly surprised by that in the sense that if you can get somebody who proves to the electorate that, hey, they're going to do a great job and they're going to be a great advocate for taxpayers and take care of business, you know, the basics. Hey, are my county roads going to be okay? You know, is the snow going to get plowed? Stuff like that. Those are the considerations that people oftentimes really care about for a position specifically such as that.
Hey, Dave, we're glad you could join us this morning. Thanks. Dave Leventhal, editor-at-large with the Center for Public Integrity in Washington.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.